We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sean Payton, keep talking that we gonna see him soon. You feel me?
Welcome to another edition of the Butting Heads Podcast on Rams Talk Radio. Johnny, training camp has started. It's a special week, late in the week, Friday edition of Butting Heads. NBA draft is going on right now. Lakers are making moves, but more importantly, football's back. Our beloved LA Rams have reported to camp. How you feeling, man? We're almost there.
I'm on an all kinds of emotions right now. I mean, the Lakers just made a blockbuster trade, and then the Dodgers made several trades, one being a blockbuster, and then we finally get some football back. It's a good day for LA.
Really is, man. It really is. And Matthew Stafford's here, everybody's here. So yeah, I mean, we got some camp news to talk about. Obviously, everybody loves the which player is going to get overhyped during camp. To me, it feels like the odds-on favorite overall at camp is going to be Jacob Harris. But right now, we got some news out of camp. So, I mean, start with this. By all reports today, I've said I'm a lot, and I'm sorry, guys. By all reports, Terrell Burgess was the early standout at camp today. He picked off John Wolford, defended the DeSean Jackson deep ball, which, as we know, is not easy to do. Do you make anything of any of that buzz? I mean, it's obviously good to know he's a guy who I would expect to play a role this year, but to me, like, I'm not going to really make anything out of him having one good day at camp. We'll see what happens in a couple weeks, but I'm excited for him to be in the rotation this year and be back from that injury.
Well, technically 2 days of camp, but you know, Terrell, yeah. But I think the more important note of this is, yeah, you can have a good day in camp, and that's great. But the important note is that he's healthy, and he's doing very well. You know, that's the important thing to take out of this. Camp is camp. And you can have camp warriors, and that's great. I think it'll be more important what we see out of week one. But the fact that the guy is out here playing healthy after sustaining a season-ending injury last year, that's the thing I'm focusing on more than anything. And I have to say that it's very promising news to getting, praise from pretty much everyone. So good. Good stuff on Terrell Burgess. That's great news, especially since we're without John Johnson. So
yeah, I'll take it. I mean, you think there's any chance he is a starting safety or more of the rotating guy, nickelback type dude?
That's kind of the big question with Terrell Burgess, because on one hand, you could theoretically start him next to Jordan Fuller, and that wouldn't be an issue at all. But on the other hand, we don't know exactly what we have in David Long either. So he may be needed at the safety. I mean at the nickel corner. As terms of other safeties, you at least have Taylor Rapp there. So it's interesting. It's a good problem to have, you know, to see where exactly you're going to put this guy. Just know that Burgess is likely going to be out in the field more often than not when, you know, the season begins.
Yeah, and I would expect him to be, like you said, the nickel guy, the rotating safety. But I expected Taylor Rapp to start last season too, so you never know what could happen. Speaking of the guy that replaced Taylor Rapp, Jordan Fuller, I think the biggest news that's come out of camp so far is we talked about a bit earlier on in the offseason who would take over the Rams' defensive signal calling role. Typically used to be linebackers. Corey Littleton did it. Al Golgotry did it. But now, recently it's been safeties for the Rams. Eric Weddle did it in 2019. John Johnson did it last year, 2020. Both those guys are not here. So first day camp, Jordan Fuller came out with what we call the green dot, which is the play caller, the guy listening to the coach. He's got the coach in his earbuds. Now, to caveat this is the full quote from Sean McVay when he was asked about this. He said, it's an experimental thing right now. There's a couple guys that are candidates for it. You do know that Jordan is more than likely, if he can use just get better and do what he's done since he's gotten here, he's probably going to be a guy that's going to be on the field all three downs. That's something that John Johnson did a great job. Even going back a couple of years, Eric Weddle did a great job having the green dot. Agree to disagree, Sean. So we've had some experience with that safety position. We always want to really get a good gauge, but also just his big picture understanding and his versatility. He's one of those guys in addition to some of the linebackers. So, the most interesting thing he says there, I think, that is you expect Jordan to be out there for three downs. And I think that's probably the number one reason why I would say he's more than likely going to end up with the green dot on day one of the season, even if Sean's saying it's an experimental thing right now. But it's just because the linebackers, like, there's no linebacker on the team that you can point to right now and be like, that's a three-down guy. And I think that's a big factor in it. Jordan Fuller, he's a three-down guy. He's going to be out there every down, more than likely, probably playing close to 100% of the snaps on defense. Every game he's healthy. And with the linebackers, like, you can't say that about any of those guys. So this is interesting to see. I think he's a guy that deserves it after last year. Seems to be a really smart football player. I expect him, if he's coming out with camp as a play caller, I expect him to be the play caller week one.
What about Leonard Floyd?
He's barely a linebacker. That doesn't count.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Steve. I'd find it really hard to believe that there's really anybody else that could challenge Jordan Fuller at this point. I suppose they could maybe experiment by giving it to Jalen Ramsey, but I don't know about that.
I guess he's really the only other guy on the defense that you would say is going to be out there 100% of the time. You know, Aaron Donald doesn't play every snap, but I doubt they would go that route. I highly doubt it.
Yes, same. It's an interesting thought, but you know, I'm happy that Jordan Fuller is getting the respect already, and just being a second year guy, and just shows a lot about his character and a lot about his demeanor for, you know, being out there, being so young and already calling plays. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, good for him, man. He deserves it. He's, somebody called him the second best 199th pick of all time, which I thought was funny. So it'd be interesting how that plays out. I mean, do you have any other camp news and notes you thought was interesting to touch on?
There's a couple notes. One of which I thought was really interesting was that we all know that the Rams are really stacked at wide receiver. And even though Tutu Atwell isn't out there right now because of COVID being on the COVID list. It's interesting because one name that's being mentioned quite often is Tristan Jackson. And we don't know if this guy's even going to make the roster or not, but he made the roster last year. Didn't, you know, get to play much, but that's interesting because last year, one of the reasons why he made the roster was because he was a training camp warrior, and it seems like he's continuing again. And hey, I'm all for this guy making this roster. If he continues to make a name for himself, why not? You know, and I know he's going to be competing with the likes of like Ben Skoranek and a few other guys. But, you know, that's kind of like a interesting little nugget there. I don't know if that's anything to get excited about, but, you know, good for Tristan Jackson.
He could definitely make the team. I mean, you have five receivers who are locks to make the team, but when one of them is DeSean Jackson, who has been arguably the most injured receiver in football over the last 5 years, Cooper Kupp has dealt with injuries before. Like, it's, yeah, I mean, they'll probably keep six receivers, and I've said it from the beginning. I don't think Ben Skoranek is a lock to make the team. They like Tristan Jackson. They're going to keep him around. I think that's certainly true. And if they don't, they'll either want to keep him on the practice squad or somebody else will sign with their active roster. But yeah, I could totally see him making the team. It'd be interesting. I've seen a lot of nice clips of DeSean Jackson running deep really fast too, which I've enjoyed a lot.
Oh, absolutely. The first day of training camp, Matt Stafford connected with DeSean Jackson, and apparently it wasn't even close. Like, you know, he just burned everybody, and that's exactly what you're kind of wanting to see, you know, during the regular season. And hopefully we see that a lot, just see Jackson just leaving defenders in the dust. And that's what I'm hoping for, man. For as old as he is, he could still burn defenders like nobody else can.
Yeah, man. When he's out there, I have all the faith in the world that he could score an 80-yard touchdown at any given moment. I really do believe in him that much when he's healthy. He's just hasn't been healthy. He really just hasn't been able to stay on the field, unfortunately.
Yeah, but the only other thing I want to point out is that Austin Corbett has apparently done, you know, real well at center. I mean, I don't really know why Sean McVay said earlier that it's still an open competition at center, because let's be real, Brian Allen or Coleman Shelton is not going to beat out Austin Corbett. But
no,
I suppose stranger things have happened. It could be, if there's anything there, it could be that Sean McVay isn't confident in Austin Corbett moving to center and likes him better as a guard. But I'd be scared if either one of those guys are starting center.
Yeah,
you know, going into week one,
it's going to be Corbett. They're not rolling any of those guys out. I mean, I feel like the fact that they never addressed the center position means that they were comfortable with Corbett. I take that. If you listen to the pod all year, I definitely did not agree with it at the time. I still don't agree with it because we knew Corbett could play guard really well. So I wish they just brought in a center or drafted Creed Humphrey or, you know, they had options. Keep Austin Blythe. But they didn't. Here we are. I think he's going to – seems like if all's trending well, maybe he will do well. You know, maybe it really was just the Cleveland situation that bit him. I think he could handle it. He's a good player. He's really developed here. We'll see what happens.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Shall we get to the schedule preview, round three?
Let's do this.
Let's do it. We're almost there. So, if you didn't listen to the last two podcasts, we did the first eight games, and correct me if I'm wrong, Johnny, I had them 7-1, and you had them 8-0?
That is correct.
We are such homers. But the after a very, after the Giants, Lions, and Texans back-to-back-to-back, the schedule does get a bit choppier here. Week 9, primetime under the lights at SoFi. We get the Tennessee Titans coming to town. Now, it is worth noting that before this game, they play the Bills, Chiefs, and Colts, and then us, which is just an absolute fucking gauntlet. This team is going to get tested very hard. But you know, the big move for them, obviously, this offseason, they lose Corey Davis, and they bring in quite a big-bodied receiver to replace him, Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yep. And then after they did that, they traded for Julio Jones, that guy from Atlanta. You might know him. So this is a team last year. They went 11-5. They lost to the Ravens in the first round of the playoffs. Nothing to be embarrassed about with any of that. The story of this team last year was they were a fucking monster on offense. They finished third in yards, fourth in points. Their passing yardage total was middle of the pack, a little lower than average, but that's because Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards. And you add Julio fucking Jones to a team that has A.J. Brown running routes. They got Derrick Henry running the football. There's not a ton to like in the rest of the passing game besides Julio Jones, but I don't think there needs to be. Like, Josh Reynolds is fine as your third receiver. I doubt he gets the ball that much, but, like, you know, if the other guys are really getting blanketed, he could do some things. And, man, like, they had a really good offense last year. Do they have the potential to be the best offense in the NFL? I know we've disagreed with Tannehill a bit, and I mean, to me, you're competing with Green Bay. We're about to talk about you're competing with Kansas City. I think those are the two most elite offenses in the league right now. Can Tennessee get to that top of the mountain? I mean, they certainly have three of the most dominant. I don't know if their A.J. Brown is one of the most dominant receivers in football, but the most dominant running back in the NFL. One of the most dominant receivers of the last decade, who's still very, very, very good, and one of the top young receivers in the NFL, A.J. Brown, who's been a home run hitter. And then Ryan Tannehill, who's good. Right? I mean, he's at least good.
Yeah. So, to be honest, the Tennessee Titans, I feel like, are one of the best overall teams in the NFL. They're very well balanced. There's a few areas that they may not be strong at, but I feel like that's any team. But offensively, I'd have to agree with you, man. I think this is probably the best offense in the NFL. And I think the Green Bay comes close, but I think that in terms of balance, this is a very stacked offense. I'm still not a huge fan of Tannehill, to be honest. I think he certainly surprised me from where his beginning started. Of course, he didn't have a lot to handle in his beginning, but
can't blame him for Miami, man.
No, you really can't, and still issues there. But regardless, I still say that I don't consider him one of the elite quarterbacks. He's certainly not on Aaron Rodgers' level, but he's still a talented quarterback, has some of the best weapons you could ever ask for. So, and then adding Julio Jones to the mix, it's like, well, damn, who is Jalen Ramsey going to cover? And Darius Williams got to really step up this game. It's not going to be an easy game whatsoever from a defensive standpoint.
No, it's not. And I think this game could be reminiscent of the Chiefs-Rams game a couple years ago. Just an absolute shootout, even though the Rams defense is very good. You said they are a well-balanced team, but, I mean, they had a really bad defense last year. Their offense is very well balanced, obviously. And Tannehill, you know, he's not elite by any means, but he's kind of in the, like, Kirk. I think he's in, like, that same tier with, like, Kirk Cousins, that type of guy. I think he's a little better than Cousins, but, like, a guy that, like, you can't, like, you put Tannehill, like, you can put Russell Wilson in a not good offense, and he's going to make that offense good. You can't put Tannehill in a not good offense, but if that offense wouldn't be good, but if you put him in a great offense, it can remain great. And that's not true for every quarterback in the league. Like, I don't like, clearly we fucking dealt with that for the last 2 years. So I like him, but I think the downfall of this team, if any, will be their defense. They gave it 27.4 points per game last year. They were bottom five in total yards allowed and passing yards allowed. They let Malcolm Butler and Kenny Vaccaro go, I guess, over the scapegoats in the secondary. They drafted Caleb Fairley in the first round. They bring in our guy, Johnny Janoris Jenkins, at cornerback. And they also signed Bud Dupree, which is a huge addition. Ironically, though, like, for a team that, you know, they were in a lot of shootouts last year. They went 4-4 in games where the defense gave up 30 points, which is not bad at all. They lost 20-13 in the playoffs to Baltimore, which is, like, funny given how the team's identity all year. I guess the biggest question with this team before we get the prediction is, and for me, like, will the defense be good enough that they can contend? And to me, I don't think the defense really needs to be that good to contend. They need to be average, and I think they can be average. I think they'll be lifted up and motivated by just how fucking good this offense is going to be and how insane there is, and that offense is going to control the clock. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to throw the ball quite a bit. They're hard to guard, even for a team that, like us, got two players, 99 overall men in our defense, Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. And I think we're still going to get fucking fits from this team. I mean, do you think that this team could compete for a Super Bowl this year? Because I feel like they might be able to.
It would not surprise me at all. I truly believe that this team is good enough to reach the Super Bowl. It's a really good football team. And I think even defensively, I feel like they've improved enough to where, while it may not be an elite defense, I think it's a pretty decent defense. Maybe not so much in the secondary, but up front, I think they're good. I love the addition of Bud Dupree. I think that was amazing. And at the end of it all, as much as I'd love to say that the Rams are going to win this game, I'm going to give them an L here. I'm going to give them their first L here, and I think that the Titans end up winning 27-24.
Yeah, I think they take an L here as well, though I got them 42-38. I think this game's going to be a barn burner. It's a really good offense. Derrick Henry's going to give us fucking fits.
And that's basically why I give them the win here. I think Derrick Henry's just going to stomp a mud hole through the middle of our defense.
Yep, and I mean, I like our cornerbacks. I don't. Every team is going to have a really, really hard time guarding both of these guys. Like, it's a tough matchup. I mean, who do you put Ramsey on? Like, it's got to be like, they had fucking Julio Jones. Like, it's got to be Julio Jones. And A.J. Brown is just getting, you know, Darius Williams, who's obviously good. Very good, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I wouldn't be shocked if they win that game, though. But you got to chalk up losses somewhere here in our schedule preview. Week 10, Monday Night Football, up in the Bay in San Francisco. We got the San Francisco 49ers. We've talked about over the summer, but we'll talk about it again a little bit. They went 6-10 last year, hitting the Super Bowl hangover hard, although this was a real nasty hangover, like the one where you couldn't even get out of bed. They had a league-high 18 players hit the injured reserve last year. $80 million worth of players were on the injured reserve, including Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, Richard Sherman, D. Ford, George Kittle. A bunch of those guys are gone. A bunch of them are back. But, like, this is even with departures, like Sherman, obviously, to me, still a really fucking good team with a really good coach, even though there's a question mark at quarterback, you know. But at the same time, seems like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starter. He was good enough to get them to a Super Bowl. We haven't seen the Jared Goff fall off from him yet. He was injured a lot of last year. It's kind of a lost season. Before we really get into like what we think about who's going to be playing quarterback in Week 10 for this team, you got to imagine this team's good, right? Like, they will if I chalk up my teams in the playoffs, they'll probably be in it. They are some people in the Rams fandom like to clown Shanahan for whatever reason. I think he's a great coach, arguably the best coach in the division. I'm not arguing it, but somebody is.
Let's put it this way. There isn't a bad team in the NFC West.
Yeah, like, it sucks.
There's no bad team in the NFC West. When you think about who potentially might be the worst team, which I think we'd both agree would be the Arizona Cardinals, I feel like in just about any other NFC division that the Arizona Cardinals may very well be the winner of that division. I feel like that they're that good. Well, maybe not the NFC North, but you get my point.
Or the NFC South. They're not better than Tampa.
I guess.
They can win the NFCs. I do agree. I definitely agree with that.
I feel like anybody could win the NFCs. But, I feel like the NFC West is the best division of football. I don't think there's any argument there.
Agreed.
And with the San Francisco 49ers, if they stay healthy, this is a hell of a football team. And they're getting some excellent players back. I mean, just Bosa and Kittle alone, those two are going to help improve the team overall. And that's just two players. You know, there's so many more players that are coming back and they're getting healthy. If they stay healthy, this is a team to watch out for sure.
Yeah, and to as much as we bemoan Jimmy Garoppolo, he's also going to make the team much better compared to what they're trotting out without him. You know, like, he's not great, but he's a lot better than the quarterbacks they were playing last year.
I liked Mullins.
He's a lot better than Mullins, Johnny.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, and we'll talk about them again so we can dive a little deeper into their team. But, I mean, the big question, like, for me with this game particularly, and I guess their whole season, like, they spent a high draft pick on Trey Lance, a quarterback. Now, this is a team that, you know, we're sitting here, like, we're literally sitting here saying we don't like their quarterback, but we still think they're going to be really good. So, like, when you have, like, when that is how teams, like, you're looking at this team, of course they should have fucking drafted a quarterback, right? And even if they're not going to play him, because I think Jimmy Garoppolo is probably a top 30 quarterback. I've said this about like other guys in this podcast, probably a top 30, definitely not a top 20. But still one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the world right now. You don't win a Super Bowl really with a bottom 20 quarterback. And that's probably around what the 49ers are dealing with. I'd have to really sift through the rankings, but still, I think they had the luxury of being able to take Trey Lance, and I still think Jimmy Garoppolo is starter in Week 10, barring like really poor play or really incredible play by Trey Lance in the preseason. But I think they probably give him the full year to develop, unless they really see something like nuts in camp. And then if you see that, maybe you go with him. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think I still stand by that. I think the 49ers made a mistake in getting Trey Lance. But one of the biggest knocks on Trey Lance is he has like the tools to becoming a potential NFL star, but he doesn't have a lot of experience, and that's on a very, you know, that's on a small school like North Dakota. I mean, at least in the case of like Carson Wentz, who people are going to associate him with, you know, at least he had, you know, all 4 years of experience. And Trey Lance is really not a whole lot of experience in the grand scheme of things. So My question is he going to be ready for the NFL, especially because this is a whole nother level that he didn't see nearly the talent that other, you know, quarterbacks, other top quarterbacks in the draft had seen. And now you have to go in to the elite level of the NFL. And I don't think he's going to be ready for that. So I do think at some point he will come in, but only if the 49ers just feel like Garoppolo is just not the answer and he's actually doing more harm than good. And if, I mean, let's face it, they're going to keep Lance on the bench until they feel like he's ready. And that's going to be the biggest problem there. So Garoppolo, he's going to be a fine quarterback to have until Lance is ready or until they feel he's ready. And like I said, the only way I see Lance actually getting a start before midseason is if Garoppolo just sucks that bad. And I don't think he's going to totally tank.
No, I mean, he's fine. He's fine. And, I mean, you look at their schedule, like, they open the season with the Lions and the Eagles. So if he really is lighting it up in camp, he could be out there week one. But then, like, you look at you look at their bye week and who they play after it. They come out with the Colts, Bears, Cardinals, and us. So, like, I can't imagine that. Those are depending on how you feel about the Cardinals, four really good defenses. You're not going to throw him to the Wolves in those games. If he doesn't start the season, I don't think you see him for a while. After this game, you get Jacksonville. Like, yeah, that'd be great for a start. And you get the Vikings, the Seahawks, the Bengals, the Falcons, the Titans, the Texans, and then us to close the year. So, I mean, if we were to see Trey Lance, truly, I think it would be after this game. I don't think it would be before it, unless he starts the season.
I'm not sending my rookie quarterback to face Aaron Donald unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah, right.
That man can destroy careers. I don't want him to be sicked on Trey Lance if I'm the 49ers. But yeah, I think that like I said, they're gonna stick with Garoppolo for now.
Who do you got winning the game?
Whew. So this is a really tough team, and this one being in San Francisco, I'm sad to say that the Rams pick up their second loss in a row in Week 10. I have them losing 28-21.
I got them losing too.
I just think that the 49ers just have had the Rams' number for the past couple seasons. And, you know, having a full, healthy staff and everything, I still think that the Rams are going to play really well. And it's going to be a tough loss. But in the end, I think the 49ers pull away with this one.
Yeah, I got 24-18. So we'll see what happens. We're going to take a quick break because we're going into bye week right now. The Rams, I have them going 7-3. Johnny has them going 8-2. Be very happy with either scenario. Also, Johnny, I just realized that I'm using the wrong microphone input. So when I come back from this break, I'm going to sound a whole lot better. Thank you guys for putting up with the shitty audio. I'm really sorry. We'll be right back. Hey, if you love listening to Rams Talk Radio and the Butting Heads podcast specifically, of course, the best podcast on the feed, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? I mean, we're just a couple of guys with microphones talking about the Rams, and you can start your own podcast if you want to. Best place to do that is Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone an opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and you don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, maybe even me, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for just $15 a month. This is the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just to host your podcast, not with all this extra stuff you're getting from Blue Wire Hustle. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about your favorite team, make your voice heard in Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited. So get your application in today. If you want to apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. That's bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more. But that's bwhustle.com/join. Back to butting heads. Okay, week 12. This is a familiar setting for us after last year. We head to Lambeau Field in late November to play the Green Bay Packers, the reigning number one seed. The last team the Rams played football against, they defeated us in the playoffs last year. You know, it was a valiant showing by the Rams in that game, but I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not really a game looking back on. And I mean, I could go back and listen to our post game pod, but I feel like even watching that game, it never really felt like we were going to win, even though we were in the game the whole time. And going into the game, it also didn't feel like we were going to win. So as far as playoff exits go over the Sean McVay era, it was probably the least disappointing.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, I knew it was going to be a long shot for the Rams to win, especially with all the injuries adding up. And then Aaron Donald couldn't get out there on the field, which is by far our best player. So, Aaron Rodgers was pretty much toying with us, honestly.
Yeah, I erased the Donald thing from my memory, honestly.
Yeah. They beat us in a way that we all knew that teams can beat us by. And that was exposing the middle. And, yeah, I mean, it wasn't even the offense that kind of blew the game for us. The offense did actually relatively well. It was pretty much them exposing the middle of the defense. And they may try and do the same thing again in this game, too. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah. And it's like the Packers are an interesting team to look at. Like, they got Aaron Rodgers back. That's a new development that just happened. So I'm kind of happy that we waited a little bit to record this podcast, honestly. And like, that's kind of it. That's their whole story this offseason. They lost their starting center, Corey Linsley. He signed the most expensive center contract in the NFL. So that's a pretty notable loss. But besides that, like, they're just back. It's basically the same team. They lost Jamal Williams. Like, all right, A.J. Dillon's up. And this is always a next up, man up mentality. They traded for Randall Cobb basically to appease Aaron Rodgers, it seems like. But, I mean, despite this, I mean, to me, now that he's back, they feel like the favorites in the conference. You look at Rodgers last year, it was fucking unbelievable. He completed 70.7% of his passes for 4,300 yards, 48 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. Like, that's just outrageous. And they led the league in points. They're top 10 in basically every major offensive category. And unfortunately fell to a really motivated and clicking Tampa Bay team that went on to win the Super Bowl in a competitive game. So, I mean, they still feel like the favorites to me, even though not much changed, but not much had to change. They went 13-3 last year. They were really good. We saw it firsthand. I mean, like, before getting predictions about this specific game, I don't know if I'm picking the Packers to come out of the NFC, but, like, you know, right now, before I really, really think about it, they seem like the favorite.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to go against Aaron Rodgers. I feel like he's the second best quarterback in the NFL right now. You know, I feel like Aaron Rodgers is just, I mean, he's a freak of nature. And it's funny because it seems like he only gets better with age. Kind of like Tom Brady, somewhat. Actually, Tom Brady's just don't die. But
yeah,
you get what I mean.
It's different. Like, Tom Brady, like, retooled, you know, but he's not playing the best football of his career. Now, granted, he's playing very fucking good football, and especially at his age. But he's not, like, you know, he's not 07 Brady right now. And that's fine.
Oh, no.
He does not need to be. But Aaron Rodgers, like, that might have been the best year of his career, period. Last season.
And he did it with limited weapons. I mean, you could say what you want about Adams, but you know, don't get me wrong, he's one of the best receivers in football.
No, you could say a lot. Argue about he's Adams. The best. Yeah, he's the truth. But yeah, you're right. But look at the rest of that receiving core.
Beyond him, there was nobody. I mean, he made names out of these guys.
Robert Tunyon.
I mean, that's another thing too. Like they released ratings. I know I'm kind of talking about this prematurely, Steve. They released Madden ratings earlier in this week about the tight ends, and a lot of people complained, particularly Packers fans, that Tunyon wasn't on there, you know, in like the top 10. And it's like, you do realize that it was Aaron Rodgers that made Tunyon, right? Like, no disrespect to Tunyon, because he did, you know, he had an amazing season too, but he's nowhere near a top 10 tight end. There's just no way.
There are not a lot of good tight ends in the league, but I would agree with you. And yeah, he got overblown by Aaron Rodgers because the rest of the receivers are like all right, but like you could argue Josh Reynolds would be their second best receiver.
There's no doubt.
Not a good thing to argue.
Who would be their second best receiver? Alan Lazard?
Yeah, or Valdez-Scantling, or maybe Randall Cobb.
Lazard's better than him.
Randall Cobb's back.
Randall Cobb's easily their second best receiver now.
Which is crazy. But, I mean, don't discount the running game, though. Aaron Jones is really fucking good. Yes, they had Jamal Williams last year. They got A.J. Dillon. Really good team. I expect them to have a ridiculous regular season. That being said, I'm actually going to pick the Rams here. I think they're going to be motivated after the end of the season last year, even though it was a game where they played all right. But Donald is going to want to piece Aaron Rodgers after last year. And truthfully, this is the best team that Matthew Stafford will ever walk into Lambeau Field with. He's walked into Lambeau Field a lot of times and lost a lot of times. And I think he's going to be real fucking fired up. And I think he's going to have a really, really good game. Even though Goff played pretty good in Lambeau in the playoffs last year, for all things considered, I feel so much better going into a cold weather game with Stafford than with Goff. I take the Rams here 28-27. I think they get a big win.
You know, the funny thing is I tend to agree with you that with Matthew Stafford under helm, I feel like the offense is in better hands, and his familiarity with the Packers and particularly their defense, I think will help the Rams a lot. But I feel like the biggest thing is that the Rams didn't correct the thing that kind of beat them in the playoffs, and that was the middle of their defense. They added Ernest Jones, and by all means, I hope that the guy plays better than Troy Reader and Kenny Young, which would be an immediate improvement, I guess. But it's not like he's going to be, you know, this superstar. I mean, I hope he is, but he's a rookie, and he's not at that level, let's be real. And I just feel like that's what's going to end up happening, is it's going to be the same formula. They're going to do dink and dunk offense, which is odd coming from Aaron Rodgers. And then they're going to just run the ball up the middle. They have a bruiser and Aaron Jones, and Dillon is not bad either. And he can he's freaking massive on his own.
Yes, he is.
So when that's all said and done, I don't have a lot of confidence there. And I think that the Packers will squeak away with the victory. I gave them a win 30. I gave the Packers the win here 31-30. It's going to be a heartbreaker, but the Packers are going to end up with this victory. So three straight losses. Who the hell am I?
Yeah, Johnny, you teased everybody. So what do you got him at 8-3 now? I got him 8-3 as well. And it's funny, like, we kind of ran through that pretty quick, because the good, like, the sure thing teams, like, there's never that much to say about them. Well, how about we go in the opposite direction? Week 13, we host the Jacksonville Jaguars. They opened last season with a big victory and then proceeded to lose the next 15 games. But thanks to the Rams and another team, we helped the Jets propel themselves to two wins, and the Jags got the first pick, and they got Trevor Lawrence. You're the big draft guy. I mean, do you think this guy is everything they say he is?
He's that and more. I like Trevor Lawrence a lot. I feel like Trevor Lawrence was the big win here, and I really feel like the Jets really screwed themselves by winning all those games, including the Rams.
All my Jets friends, I live in the East Coast. I know a lot of them. They're all fucking furious after that game. They were so mad. They were so mad after their first win of the year.
I would be too. They lost out on probably the best quarterback in the draft. Now, there's a lot of talented quarterbacks in this year's draft, and I don't know. Maybe some of these guys will pan out. Maybe some of them won't. Maybe all of them will. You never know. But I think Trevor Lawrence is an amazing quarterback, and there's a reason why everyone knew he was going to be the number one overall pick. You know, he's that good. That being said, he's coming to the NFL where the big boys hit hard. So there's that.
And he's coming to one of the most bizarre situations in the league. Jacksonville is a known terrible franchise, but hey, they kind of cleaned house, and they bring in Urban Meyer to resurrect the team. Urban Meyer is a college football coach for a long time, ran it a really good one, but you know, he's no spring chicken. Is he in his 60s, right?
Yeah, something like that. He's not young.
So it's a really, like, 57. So not bad. I mean,
he's no Sean McVay.
No, but it's an inspired hire, and I'm very curious to see how it plays out. I don't really think it's going to play out well, but at the same time, I'm with you. I think Trevor Lawrence is the real deal, and maybe he could drown that out. Now, it's interesting because they didn't really give the roster that much of a facelift. You know, this is a 1-15 team, and beyond Lawrence, now granted, that's a huge splash. It wasn't a ton. I mean, they had a second first round pick, thanks to us, and they drafted Travis Etienne from Clemson, so Lawrence's teammate. But that was like the one good position they had on the roster was running back, and they drafted another one, and they signed Carlos Hyde. So that was a real fucking head scratcher to me. I do not understand that move. Like, I get you want to make Lawrence comfortable. I get you want to add some talent to the offense, but take a receiver?
Yeah.
Rashad Bateman was there, if I remember correctly. Did they go Etienne? I mean, sure. I think he's going to be good, and it does add talent to their team. They also bring in Marvin Jones, who we wanted. Like, that's not a bad signing, but a lot of question marks on the team. They didn't really do much to shore up their defense. They signed Shaquille Griffin. That's a notable signing, but they gave it the second most points in football last year. They gave it the second most yards. They were bottom five in all offensive categories. What's your outlook on this team? Like, I think they're going to be bad.
Yeah, they're still not going to be very good, if I'm going to be honest. You know, I do feel like they're kind of in the step in the right direction in terms of, you know, getting their quarterback. This is going to be their franchise quarterback for a while. And, you know, that's great. But beyond that, like, I really don't understand why go after a running back when you – that was, like you said, Steve, the only good thing about your team the entire year.
And yeah. And it's not like, you know, you could have won receiver, but also, like, your defense sucks. Like, you could have drafted a defender.
That's what I would have addressed. Defense was the big, like, probably the biggest downer there in Jacksonville, and they really didn't address it that much. I'm at a loss here, and, you know, going up against the Rams offense, this is not going to be a pretty game for them. Let's put it that way. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I got the Rams winning 31-17. I think it's going to be a not great game. I mean, I'm excited to watch this game. I think Jacksonville's going to be a really interesting team to talk about. We don't need to do the Tim Tebow thing as much as you know I want to.
Did I send you that meme, by the way?
Yeah, you did.
I couldn't remember if I sent that to you. I'm like, I got to send Steve this meme.
Do you think – here's a question. Do you think Tim Tebow is on the roster for this game, Week 13?
I mean, I feel like that he will be.
I think he will be too.
Just so – I kind of feel like he's on the roster just to piss people off. Like, I really believe that.
I don't. I think that he's on the roster because Urban Meyer is his, like, fucking Urban Meyer is the man of his life. You know?
Yep.
Like, we'll see. I'm not, like, super confident he's on the team in Week 13. I definitely think he could get cut at the end of camp. I definitely think he could be in the first wave of cuts during camp. But, like, I don't know why he waited this long to do this, Tim Tebow. He probably would have been in the NFL. Like, somebody would have given him a chance to play tight end. It's been 9 years since he was on a regular season roster. So maybe, I mean, he played baseball, but maybe his body's in good shape. I mean, he's old. He's going to be 34 at the start of the season, but he is a physical fucking freak. Like, I'm sure his body's in a lot better shape than the average NFL player at 34, but also, like, I don't imagine he's going to be a productive tight end. He'll probably just be like a gadget player if he's there.
Look, you're looking at Taysom Hill 2.0. That's what you're looking at.
He should have done this years ago, man. I don't know why he didn't.
I think he had his heart set on being a quarterback, and when he figured out he couldn't be a quarterback, he went to baseball and really didn't do much in baseball. But yeah, I'm not looking forward to seeing all the coverage that happens. Like, I can just picture the first catch that this guy gets, it's going to be all over ESPN.
Oh, dude, I'm buying the NFT.
I believe it. I mean, hey, you do have his jersey after all.
I absolutely do. I've been debating on buying a Jags Tim Tebow jersey for a while, too. I haven't Please done do. It yet.
Please do.
I might have to. At least a jersey.
Oh, man.
I'm assuming you got the Rams winning this game.
I have them whipping their ass with 45-10. I can't imagine a universe where they score more than 10 points, especially when you got guys like Jalen Ramsey going to be covering any of their receivers, really. So, yeah. I like Trevor Lawrence, but he ain't got much to work with. And, yeah, 45-10.
You know, though, I think for a lot of the bad teams in the NFL, I think they have a better chance of being decent than a lot of the teams we talked about. And I don't think they will, but, like, I think if I had to bet on who would have the best season between the Lions, Texans, and Jags, I'd bet on the Jags. And I don't care if Deshaun Watson plays because that team sucks. so do the Jags, but new quarterback, new coach, like, you never know. Like, Urban Meyer could strike magic. I'm not a believer in him at the NFL, but you never know.
And then there's Tim Tebow, man. He's a winner.
I he's a gamer, baller, playmaker. I would be shocked if Jacksonville had a winning season. I wouldn't be shocked if they went like 7 and whatever the new number is, 7 and 10, 8 and 9. Wouldn't floor me. But like if they win like 10 games, I'd be absolutely shocked.
I don't know. Same.
They're an interesting team. So after 13 weeks, you got the Rams, or I guess we both have the Rams 9-3, right?
Yes, sir.
That'd be great. That'd be really fucking great. These are a lot of tough games.
Yeah, I'd be really psyched to see that the Rams be at 9-3 at this point of the season. And it's interesting. I I'm curious to see, like, if we would change our minds about any of the opponents we had previously if we had known Cam Akers was out for the season.
I don't think I would have. It's a tough loss. He's going to be a big part of this offense, but I don't know. I think the team's still going to be good. I think they're going to weather the storm. I believe in Daryl Henderson. If they could keep him healthy, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's that much of a downgrade from Cam Akers.
I still think that they need to sign somebody else, but that's just me.
But it doesn't seem like they're going to. I mean, I ultimately think they will, but I think they're going to wait. I think they're going to see what they got in camp. How can you go on? Can you really be that big of a believer in Xavier Jones and Jake Funk right now? Like, today? I don't know, like, how you are.
Steve, you just got to get funky.
I think you got to do that.
I do like Xavier Jones from what I saw in training camp last year, but do I think he can be a nice complimentary back right now? Probably not.
Yeah, I think they sign Adrian Peterson in 2 weeks. That's my bold prediction.
I'm hoping they sign Todd Gurley in a few weeks.
I don't think they're going to.
Nah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, well, last thing to wrap it up, the Madden ratings are starting to come out. The Rams had 299s. You know, growing up, Johnny, I played with the Rams, and we never had any good players. So this is great. With 299s, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Though 1 year I did make Sam Bradford and Taylor Austin 99s in my season just by dominating the computer. But that didn't pan out. but, I mean, it's awesome to see. 299s, both deserve it. Jalen Ramsey's a real interesting one. The only other 99s announced right now are Devontae Adams and Travis Kelce. I'm sure there'll be a couple more. But, hey, good for Jalen. How you feeling?
You know, I was a little surprised that he was a 99. Not that he doesn't deserve it, but because I didn't think that people, you know, ranked him as high as that we typically do. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's starting to change. I mean, last year he dominated, and I think he's certainly worthy of the 99. But real surprised and real happy that he got the 99 ranking, and I'd say it's well deserved.
I agree for sure. Good for him. Who do you think is gonna be the third highest player on the team? It's a good question, huh?
That is a good question. I'm probably gonna have to go with Cooper Kupp.
I'm gonna say Andrew Whitworth.
Big Whit, not a bad. I mean. Personally, that's what I feel who's the third best player on the team. But from a Madden perspective, I went with Cooper Kupp just because there's a lot of love for him out there. Not undeservingly or anything, just a lot of people really like Cooper Kupp.
I'm going to bet on a 71 for John Wolford.
John Wolford, a 71. I think he's going to surprise some people and be 75.
Here's a good question. Last question of the show, because we've been going a while. What is Jared Goff's rating?
Well, that's tough. 82?
I'm going to go 76.
Damn.
I think I'm going high, to be honest.
Are you really? To be honest with you, I haven't owned a Madden game in
me neither.
Like a decade or two.
I think they've balanced the ratings out more, so like it's not like every starter is over an 80 anymore. I think the rating system's a little more balanced, and I think at least the last time I played it, this was a while ago. So yeah, I'm gonna go 76.
Oh. I'm going to be interested, and we'll probably definitely bring this up when it happens.
I think Tebow's going to be a 58. Okay, I think we can wrap it up there. you got any last thoughts?
Just go Dodgers, go Lakers. We all know that that both are going to bring home some gold. So, yeah. And then, of course, go Rams.
Was told that the Sixers were going to make a trade a certain player on the team today.
And that did not happen.
Did not.
And I don't blame them for the Warriors for not doing that trade.
It truly, like, it was a preposterous offer for the Sixers, but also, like, nobody would have won the trade. They would have gotten two guys that don't fit the team at all, and Wiseman and Wiggins. But anyways, nobody cares about this. Follow us on Twitter, at Superbarrow, at Johnny5not6, at Talk Rams. We'll be back with the last five games of the regular season, and then from there, it's real football talk. We'll see you soon.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that. We're going to see him soon. You feel me?